This is Mythical.
Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I am Rhett.
And I am Link. Today at the round table of dim lighting, we're gonna fight. No, we're gonna discuss fights. We're gonna pick some fights. We're gonna resolve some fights. We're gonna discuss all things related to conflict.
And well, not all things. I
mean, yeah, that's
just
very
made
broad.
A comprehensive promise.
I made a very broad promise and I wanna retract it.
You know my motto, don't be comprehensive.
Yeah, just be apprehensive.
I say that all the time.
I'm comprehensively apprehensive, but we're gonna talk about some ridiculous arguments that you, Mythical Beast, have gotten into. And I think we can help solve,
we're gonna solve
some of these riddles and bring some stasis to some relationships.
Now, they will not be comprehensive solutions.
No.
They will be specific solutions to your situation. But let me tell you right now, I can say this factually, confidently, and thoroughly, that we will be giving you solid answers that are morally respectable, easy to act on, and if you do not follow our advice, that is your prerogative. I backed off a little bit. I was gonna say that you are responsible for your own actions if you don't, but that's true anyway.
Sometimes just talking about the specific conflict and acknowledging its existence makes the elephant disappear. Mm. And in the least, we'll do that.
But where does the elephant go after it disappears?
The backyard. You still gotta feed that elephant.
They eat a lot.
Is it pink? I'm confused.
The pink elephant is different than the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is never pink.
What about the one with memory?
That's
different.
That's all of them.
All. There's so many different elephant tropes. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I bet there's more.
Mm-hmm.
There's the circus elephant, circus peanuts elephant. I don't know what that one is exactly.
Yeah, I don't understand.
You get paid in peanuts. So we're gonna get into the deep end of some conflict. Mm-hmm. Maybe share some of our own conflicts with each other and with our family.
Oh, really?
But first, you want an update from me?
Is that what this is about?
I just wondered, do you want an update from me? Because
well,
I got a big update.
Okay, yeah, sure, an update from you.
I got a big old update for you. Christy and Lily went to see Hamilton last night.
How in the world did they figure that out?
They got tickets. Their friend got tickets.
But that's not easy to do.
Well, it was LA Hamilton, so it was like rip-off Hamilton. It wasn't like Broadway Hamilton.
It's the same people.
It's not the same people.
It's not the same people as the original cast, but if you go to New York right now, you won't see the original cast. You won't see that dude.
Miranda.
Yeah.
Who sings.
Yeah, he's gone. He's done. He'll probably come back for like a farewell thing at some point.
Oh yeah, he's been gone, man. He did like that to Moana.
Yeah.
Oh, he's checked out. Woof, he forgot he even did it.
So hold on, so what you're telling me is that anything other than the original with him is a ripoff?
I actually don't know. But I think if you're gonna, I mean, if you saw him, you're bragging. You're going around town bragging. I saw Hamilton when Lin-Manuel Miranda was in it.
Well, yeah, of course, that's better. But at this point in time, getting into the LA show, I know nothing about Broadway. I've only been to a couple of shows in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You've only been to one and it was Lion King.
And it was amazing.
We
talked about that. I was not invited.
But this is still quite a feat though. This is still a major life event.
Oh, they were super pumped about it and I was super not invited. Because, I mean, for the past year, they've been listening to these Hamilton songs. Like, Eliza, like, you know, all of these Hamilton songs.
Is there one
songs.
With Eliza in it?
Yeah, yeah. I just sang part of it. That's all I know. There's a lot of rapping.
I've listened to it. I listened through it one time.
And let me tell you, I mean, Lily is just obsessed with it. Her friends are obsessed with it. That's why it's like playing in the car and Christy starts to learn the lyrics. And I just, they've really ruined it for me.
Oh, wow.
Like.
Is it that they can't sing?
I don't know.
Any rhythm?
I've never been interested in seeing it because just a bunch of teenagers singing it in a minivan is not appealing. Mm. Just like a, you know, a 13-year-old girl like rapping about Hamilton is not cool to me. I'm sorry. Like if I wanna listen to rap music, I'm gonna listen to Kendrick, man. I'm gonna listen to some good stuff.
Well, I think what
and
you're
and I just feel well, like
what you're
it's not good.
What you're hinting at right here.
It's good for plays.
Okay, exactly. Okay, now this is controversial, but I'm on your
team. And I just heard it from 14-year-old girls in a minivan.
I'm on your team here. So let me just say my opinion on this.
Yeah.
And it's not an informed opinion because it's not like I've witnessed a lot of this, but I have listened to the Hamilton soundtrack. And my opinion on it is exactly what you said, is that if any of these songs just like popped on the radio, you'd be like, what is this cheesy stuff? You'd be like, What is this cheesy rap?
And I'm not even talking about because it's like rapping about Alexander Hamilton.
But no. Just the approach, everything about it.
Yeah, it's just got a schmaltziness to it.
Well, it's musical. It fits in the context of a musical. Now, within the context of a musical, it's like incredibly innovative.
And
it's
I
like
know that
remarkable.
People are growing hair on their hate right now. That's how some people, we're getting some people that riled up.
Did you make that expression up? Growing hair on your hate?
You've never heard that?
I've never heard that until right now.
I just made it up.
Yeah, I figured.
But you know what I mean, right? They're getting so riled up, they're growing hair on their hate.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
They're gonna have to shave their hate.
And we're not saying—
I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I know I am.
Two men who have not seen Hamilton, and only one of us even has any immediate family members who've seen it, we know that we don't even seem qualified. I'm just saying that I've listened to the music, and I actually think that a person who's listened to the music and not seen the production is actually in the best position to judge the music itself. And I'll be like, again—
Well, every time I hear it, there's like teenage girls rapping it.
I listened to it by myself, no teenage girls at all.
Oh, really?
Just
okay.
Me in a car. I feel like I'm the impartial one here.
You are, because I am runt.
And I was like, this is good for a musical. This is excellent for a musical. But if you played Kendrick and then you played that,
right,
you'd be like, well, what is this? What is this cheesy stuff?
Right. It's like watching a movie, like a really good movie, versus watching like a made for TV movie.
But let me say it also at the same time, if you took a Kendrick song and tried to use it in a musical, it wouldn't work in a musical. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would not work. Don't say it would work, it wouldn't work. So actually, I'm talking myself back around and I realize that Hamilton
now, Chris,
is the pinnacle of musical music.
Now what Christy told me—
It's still a little cheesy compared to Kendrick.
What Christy told me this morning that was news to me was that there is no dialogue at all.
It's all
singing. So then, okay, let me think about that, right? It's only the music.
Really?
Really, yeah.
They never say anything.
Never say anything, she says.
And you're saying everything that they sing, it can be purchased on the album? So if you listen to
the
entire album, you've listened to the entire play?
I don't know that, but she said, her and Lily said it was like life-alteringly amazing for them. And I just can't—
No, and you know what? It would be for me as well. I'm not gonna speak for you.
And maybe it—
I guarantee you, if I went to see it in person and I plan on seeing it in person, I will think it is absolutely amazing.
But it's like beer goggles.
I am prepared for
that. But you're talking about it's like play goggles. It's like theater goggles.
Well, it's like—
You know how at the theater they've got that thing that you look through?
I have a better analogy. You can finish
this
one.
And it makes you think that it's good? I think that's what those things are for.
Yeah, that's not what those things are for. This is— the best analogy is summer camp goggles, okay? So you're at summer camp, mm-hmm, and you have a limited field of people that you might be attracted to, right? And so you fall in love with this girl at summer camp, and you're like, Amanda is amazing. Amanda is the most beautiful girl.
Can we call her Eliza?
Eliza is amazing. She's the most beautiful girl. She's so interesting. And then—
She likes to work it.
Then you see Eliza just in normal life outside of summer camp, and you're like, I don't really understand what I saw in Eliza. What you saw through summer camp goggles.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you used the thing about the theater, and that's not the point.
Yeah,
that was a red herring. Right, you really ruined your
analogy.
I muddied the waters. I saved it.
Yes,
you're welcome.
Yes, you saved it. Thank you.
And so that's what's happening when you go to a musical. The expectations are set in a certain place. And again, I do not believe that if all of a sudden Kendrick came out, then it would become a concert. And a concert is something that is distinctly different than a Broadway show.
Now, Green Day did a Broadway show.
Never saw it.
So I'm curious
about
that.
With their music?
Yeah.
And the music like from Dookie that you would know?
I think it was American Idiot. I don't know for sure. Speaking out of school. But I think if I went there, I'd probably think it was great too. The thing that, I mean, it's like, you know, a cappella.
Oh, you're gonna do that?
And now, you know what? Since you already hate me, I hate a cappella.
Oh, gosh.
I don't hate the people, but I hate a cappella. Until
what?
2 weekends ago, Lily was like, we should watch Pitch Perfect. And I forgot it was about a cappella. And I was like, as long as the whole family can agree on something to watch, this is a victory. Who am I to stand in the way of us finally all agreeing on something? And everyone wanted to watch Pitch Perfect. One of the best movies I've ever seen in my life.
Link, you're losing all kinds of respect.
Okay, it wasn't one of the best. It was a hilarious movie, totally worthy of two sequels. And the first one of which we watched the next night. And it was not as good as the first, but it was still pretty great. Listen, a movie all about a cappella, and I loved it to death, man.
Well,
so you know what? Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, here's what I'll say about a cappella.
Shout out to Flula. He did a great job in Pitch Perfect,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he did. A cappella is...
It was a well-written movie.
A cappella...
And it was very self-deprecating, which allowed me to like a movie about a cappella.
Please continue. A cappella is great in person, okay? Right? A cappella is like...
No.
Okay.
It's embarrassing.
No, it's not. Hi. Great a cappella is great in person. But when you make the decision to buy the
album... I disagree with that, but go ahead.
When you buy... Well, yeah, that's because we went to that Google party and the Google a cappella people sang and they were... It was embarrassing, okay? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
We are getting smarmy.
That was embarrassing. I mean, first of all, when you're in the midst of like, when you're like at a tech company and you're in the midst of the kind of people who work at a tech company, being in the a cappella group makes you cool. But in like the regular world, that it's not cool. That's just a fact. But I respect it. But they just thought so highly of themselves, is my impression. I just thought they thought so highly of themselves, and they thought they were so great.
No.
And it really wasn't good.
You're misinterpreting the look on their face as thinking highly of themselves, but really it's them trying to hit the notes. They make those faces.
No. Even as they were setting the songs up, this next one is going to blow your socks off.
They look snooty, but they're really just trying to get on top of the note.
No, it was down on it. It was before and after every song. And they also weren't as great as they thought they were. But hold on, if you see Pentatonix in person, your heart will explode. I'm telling you right now. I haven't seen them before, but I have every reason to believe.
I bet you I would think that they were great. And I bet you I would think that Hamilton was great, just like I think Pitch Perfect is great.
But if I was in a certain mood, maybe if I just put on a Pentatonix album. And I realize there's many people who are touched by just listening to it. But I feel like you're relating it to the experience of seeing it live. That's my personal opinion. And maybe that's how I perceive it. So when I experience Hamilton on its own.
I respect how the sausage was made, but I don't like the sausage.
Yeah, but if you're at the sausage plant as it's being made and then they give it to you to taste, it will taste better. It's just like when you're camping and everything tastes better. Context matters. You know what I'm saying?
I would gladly go camping with Pentatonix.
I would love to do that. In fact, if Pentatonix is listening, if you guys want to go camping with us, we will make it happen.
Or just the Superfruit guys.
I guarantee.
Just those two.
Whoever we can get.
We'll take
Pentatonix.
Whoever we can get.
And if you guys.
The guy who plays a cello with his mouth, we'll take him.
Yeah.
Any day of the week.
We'll take one or all or any. All I'm saying
we
is-
We will take monotonics. That's what we're saying.
If-
Diatonics.
Yeah, you can keep going until you get back to pentatonics. But if we have a campfire set up and one of you guys starts making noises with your mouth and the other one starts singing, I'm probably gonna start crying. I'm not kidding.
You're gonna cringe a little first. You're like, don't do this, don't do this. But then-
But if we invite pentatonics on a camping trip, I think the expectation is that they're gonna sing a cappella around the campfire.
They're gonna bust out.
And I will weep openly, unashamedly. But I'm just gonna tell you right now that I'm not going to enjoy the album. That's just my personal opinion. That's how, lots of people do. They sell crap tons of albums.
Oh yeah.
I know that we've made a lot of people upset.
And I know that we're the ones who are wrong.
Yeah.
But we have to be honest.
Right.
We have to get it out there to the detriment of our careers. This is where it, this is when-
Hopefully we haven't lost any fans.
A whole chunk of Mythical Beast just sloughed off. That's what it sounds like when they realize who we really are.
Yeah. I'm sorry if we've broken any hearts.
It's like a dead skin cell, except we're the dead skin cell.
Yeah. Ear Biscuits is supported by Nature Box.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a bit of a reputation for eating things, eating gross things, eating things that are excessive in some way, eating a lot of things.
Or attempting to and not being able to.
But you gotta understand that we're doing that for your entertainment purposes. When we're actually eating for our own benefit, we're actually trying to eat things that taste good and make us feel good because they're healthy. And we have found that in NatureBox. NatureBox has over 100 stacks of snacks. It's 100 snacks.
You're on to something now.
They taste good and they're actually better for you. All snacks are made from high quality, simple ingredients, which means no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel good about what you're eating.
I'm gonna work up a jingle for NatureBox right now, okay?
This is risky.
Don't think outside of the box. Think inside of the box, cause there's nature in there. Look at it.
Good.
It's not nature. It's snacks, but it's snacks that are shaped like nature.
Can you throw in?
They're just snacks.
Can you throw in the stacks
like
of snacks?
Stacks of snacks for your nature enjoyment.
That's good.
Think inside of the box, the nature box.
Okay, it needs a little work, but I like where you're going with it. Listen to the mixes they have. I'm on a pistachio and almond mix, probiotic power mix, sweet and simple berry nut mix, harvest nut mix, spicy pub mix, naked trail mix.
Chewy, chewy, chewy. Mix it up. Right now, NatureBox is offering you, Ear Biscuiteer, 50% off. That's half off of your first order when you go to naturebox.com/ear. So make sure you go to naturebox.com/ear to get your 50% off that first order. naturebox.com/ear. Think inside of the nature.
Box.
Stacks.
And now on with the biscuit.
Let's get into some fights. There's a chapter of our Book of Mythicality called Pick a Fight Worth Picking, and we tell a number of stories of fights that we got into.
I think it's just called Pick a Fight. I think at one point
it was
called Pick a Fight Worth Picking.
The badge says Pick a Fight Worth Picking.
Yeah.
That you can earn by reading and applying the chapter. I tell the story in detail that I think I told on A Good Mythical More of having an altercation at a gas station where I thoroughly embarrassed my entire family in tow in my minivan when some dude let me have it and I totally deserved it. And that's detailed there. I don't want to rehash it here. You tell the story of a fight that you wish you would have picked, that you would have stood up for yourself in a dressing room involving a young woman and her father who had a tattoo of like a taloned hawk on his head.
Yeah.
That was crazy, man.
Yeah, it was.
And you shrunk like the shirt you were trying on.
Right.
And you regret it to this day.
Yeah, which so we go back.
We represent two extremes, like maybe avoiding conflict in your case to the point of regret to just diving in head first, I would say mouth first, into an argument and then regretting it, potentially putting my family in harm's way, or at least put my wife in harm's way and my kids getting an education on a bunch of new expletives from a guy at a gas station. But we also ask you guys to tell us some conflicts that you've been a part of. What was the prompt?
It was tell us about a dust up you've had that went wrong or weird or funny.
Mm-hmm.
We got one from Adam Charles Stumpf. At a bar, a guy bumped my shoulder, then shoved me saying, "Sup, bro?" I said loudly, "Do you want a hug?" He did not know how to process and just walked away.
He didn't say, "Sup, bro." He said, "What's up, bro? Like, you want to start something?"
Yeah, he was mad.
"What's up?" And then he said, "You want a hug?"
That was risky.
That was risky.
That was real risky, because that could have ended with a, it depends on who you say that to.
Could have been a bear hug.
Or it could have been a punch right in the face.
Right, I'm gonna hug my five fingers, make a sandwich, and then I'm gonna knock you.
So you could say that this was, this diffused the situation because it confused and therefore diffused. But I have to say that I think, Adam, you got lucky on this one. I don't necessarily think that this was a wise call. I think you got lucky, my friend.
Yeah.
You said it to the right person. You said the wrong thing to the right person.
Lillian St. Clair at FindTheFish14X says, "Tried to yell at a bad driver after he cut me off. Brain said, 'Go ahead, be my guest.' But her mouth said, 'Go ahead, be my friend.'" You know, sometimes when you're at that moment of confrontation, it just, the wrong thing comes out, if you're me at least.
Yeah, right, you you can relate to that.
I mean, the most famous story is we were on the, I was on the beach with you and Jesse and Christy.
Right.
And Christy was very pregnant at the time, and it was a deep beach. Deep enough to like, for a bunch of college kids to be playing football behind us, and we were at the shore and we were walking back up, and Christy was tired and she walked back before me. And so I see her, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, as she's like getting to the, to like the steps to go back to the hotel, she gets mauled by a shirtless collegiate student who was trying to catch a football. He was like doing the wide receiver thing, like looking back over his shoulder, and ran and just ran right into Christy. Christy falls on the ground, and she's like pregnant, like ripe.
I don't know if ripe's the correct word to use.
About to pop, like a watermelon. And I ran over there, and I got in the guy's face, and my brain was not engaged, and I was like, "What are you thinking?"
Oh, I remember.
So we got a lot of mileage out of that. "What are you thinking?" And he was like—
And the answer was, "I'm thinking, I'm playing a football game, and your wife just walked into the field."
Yeah, she walked literally through the middle of a football game.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't think, like if—
And then his response was very apologetic, but he had every right to be, I mean, when a pregnant woman's lying in the dirt, there's not much else you can do besides just help her, even if the husband is like ranting a little bit. It's understandable, but it was, I made it very awkward.
And you also didn't back down. I mean, you did back down, but you both, actually you and Christy, and it's interesting because I feel like you guys are both alike in this way.
Yeah.
Like, you both got mad.
Right, but it was an honest mistake.
And you stayed mad. So it was like, it wasn't like you got mad and then you realized how ridiculous it was to be mad. You both got mad because like, Christy stood up and said, "Gaw!" And then y'all both just walked off and I was just like, whoa.
Well, what? It was a scary moment when you—
What is happening right now? So I think that that's, I think that that your number one mistake was what you said, but your number two mistake was—
I held a grudge.
Still being mad about it and not seeing the humor in it until probably like the next day, maybe. Like I probably didn't even say anything about it. I probably didn't be right. Like, "Dude, you realize that that guy did nothing wrong at all. Like he did nothing wrong. Like how could he have changed his actions to be any different? Like what would he have done differently?" Right?
I'm not gonna defend myself.
No, I'm just saying that, but in the moment you had the inability to process that he had no other choice to do than to do what he did.
I was going totally on instinct. And you know what? Sometimes it's like, "Go ahead, be my friend."
Bambi and Friends says, "One time my friend got kicked out of a pizza shop at 3 a.m. because she punched a guy in the face when he said, Hamsters are shit.
Well, that's, them is fighting words, man, I guess.
Just to clarify, she was defending her hamster's honor.
Oh, he was talking smack about a hamster. She was, I don't know, punch a guy in the face for that?
I wonder how that ended.
At a pizza shop?
I mean, if you're at a pizza shop at 3 a.m., you're talking about hamsters.
Right.
You pretty much deserve any situation that you get yourself into, I think.
You gotta watch, you gotta watch. But I don't mean you have a timepiece. I mean you've got to be vigilant of yourself and
but
your
honestly,
friends.
I mean,
don't cross Bambi's friends.
But hamsters, think about how differently this would have gone if he had said hamsters are the shit. You know, think about how that changes everything. Mm-hmm. Just simply adding the.
Yeah, that it would have turned into a high five.
Yeah, heck yeah, man, hamsters.
This next one I wanna read, it's kind of a longer story, but I wanna, just settle in, I wanna read it to you because okay. It's kind of funny and it's honest. Cassie Ray Phillips says, my mother, who sadly passed away 2 years ago from cancer, loved my husband even when we started dating. She would tell me constantly that I should marry him after she met him. My husband also has long hair and a large beard, and he did when we started dating and he does now. He shaved his beard and cut his hair off when he started looking for a job when he graduated college. And then he was sitting at the kitchen table with me when my mom comes in. She's polite, she's Southern, and she looks at me and tells me to meet her in the other room across the house.
Uh-oh.
Then her mom starts screaming, well this is her writing. My mom starts screaming at me for cheating on my now husband, going on about how I'm terrible to do that to him. I simply go, no mom, that's him, which just made her go insane. Claiming she didn't raise her daughter to be a lying, cheating harpy.
Hadn't heard that before.
All brave and serious, she threatens to call him. I gladly hand her my phone, and at this point, she's so disgusted with me. It's comical to me. I'm laughing while she is so angry. I'm sure she would have buried me. She storms into the kitchen and forces me to come in while she humiliates me. Come in here right now in front of this guy who you're cheating on your husband with. This clean-shaven man. and then she's, I'm calling him right now. She calls him, his phone rings right there, because it's him. She realizes it, and then she calmly hangs up, sits the phone down, turns around, and walks out of the kitchen. I'm in tears laughing, explaining to my now husband, and he started laughing so hard, he started crying. I didn't see my mom for 3 days.
That one kind of speaks for itself.
What speaks for itself?
I mean, it almost sounds like a movie scene.
Yeah.
It's almost like, this may be from a movie, and Cassie's just trying to get us to believe that it happened to her.
I don't know the movie, though. It certainly wasn't in Pitch Perfect 1 or 2, which I will never forget.
Yeah, you recently enjoyed, so therefore you know that. Hopefully they all reconciled later. Aaron Croson. My younger sister and I are best friends, but we fight over the dumbest things because siblings. Mm-hmm. Once when I was in high school, we got into a shouting match over something I can't even recall now. What sticks in my memory was my breaking point during that particular fight. Emma, my sister, took the pickle she happened to be eating throughout this entire thing, squeezed it, and flicked the juice all over my face. She ran immediately, which was wise of her. I'll get her back one day.
It's always good to have bring a pickle to a fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Really, what can go wrong? First of all, it's difficult to hit somebody who's eating a pickle because it just feels like
kinda
it's
like
going to be messy.
Kind of like a person with glasses.
Yeah.
You don't want to punch a person.
Take your glasses
with a pickle.
Off. Take your tie off. Take the pickle out of your mouth.
Can you put down the pickle so I can punch you?
Right.
You don't want to pickle punch somebody.
You don't want to. You don't want to catch the pickle instead of the face too. Because then you could literally just kill them if you hit it hard enough and it goes right down their throat. And that's not what you're trying to do when you punch somebody in the face. I mean, you're not actually trying to kill them. You're just trying to shake them up a little bit.
This reminds me of the story of when I was hanging out at your house and you got into an altercation with your older brother, Cole, and evidently you had deodorant in your hand. So not a pickle, but you tell the story.
I always carry deodorant.
You're like, you have it on your person?
Well, as a teenager, very, you know, shortly after I realized that a certain smell could emit from my underarms, I was like, I need to be ready at all times.
I don't know if you always
No, I was just at home. I was just at home and for some reason had deodorant. But Cole was doing something that he did quite often and he loved it when he could get one of my friends involved. And so he was saying that I liked Melissa Hood.
Did you?
I did not.
Did you?
I did not.
Did you?
I did not.
I think you did.
And so, and I don't remember, I don't know exactly where this came from. I don't know why he had pinpointed her as who he was, you know, and he just, and it made me mad and I was denying it. And of course-
And I was there.
Then he gets you involved. And so now
like,
you're-
He likes her, doesn't he?
And then you're like, yeah, he likes her. Cause you saw where this was going.
Yeah, you're getting irate.
And then did you stay with him? Or were you with me when the deodorant projectile happened?
I think I stayed with you. I mean, I didn't want to have to go home.
I was really mad at him and I was chasing him and he ran into his room.
Slammed the door.
And just as he slammed the door, like from this is basically the length of the house because I was throwing it from what my parents used to call the extra room to Cole's room.
Across the stairwell.
I threw a fastball and the deodorant just hit the-
You threw it, then he slammed the door and then it just-
He intercepted the deodorant with the door.
And it obliterated the like antiperspirant slash deodorant. It was white. It was one of those that like, when it hit the door, it burst everywhere.
It was
like white.
It really symbolized my anger at the time.
Yeah. I can see it in my brain now, like watching it on a slow-mo phantom camera.
But I think that the moral of the story is having an object you don't wanna, like if you're playing a role-playing game, you don't go get into a fight before you equip yourself with something. And in real life, that might be a pickle and it might be deodorant.
You need to look at what someone's got in their hand before you pick a fight with them, I think is another way to look at it.
That's true if you're on the other end of it.
I mean, you damaged the drywall in your own bedroom.
But that was just out of pure anger over something. I don't even remember what it was.
You punched through the wall?
No, I kicked the wall.
You kicked the wall?
Yeah, and
you don't remember what that was? But it was Cole.
I don't know. I don't know who it was.
It wasn't me.
I was mad about something.
We didn't get into a lot of fights. I mean, I would come over there and you and Cole would get into fights. Like he'd get mad because you took one of his CDs or something.
Oh yeah, Cole and I fought all the time. And my kids fight all the time. All the time. Like constantly. But it's not much of a fight because it's a 13-year-old and an 9-year-old. So it's not like there's sometimes it gets a little physical, but it's, you know, Locke overreacting in some way and like pushing Shepherd or something like that. But it's not anything that where I have to like step in. But they get in fights all the time.
Yeah, like Lando will like find something on the table that's nasty and then he'll like, it'll be on his hand and then instead of rubbing it on the napkin, he'll rub it on Lily or Lincoln and then they will explode and then they'll grab him and like pin him down.
So does he do this he's instigating?
It's almost like just instinctive. It's like, I mean, there's so much at each other's throats that like, yeah, he's not sly about it. Like, I'm gonna do this. Ha, I gotcha. It's more just like-
He
finds himself doing the most annoying thing to his siblings.
Oh, that would make me so mad.
Yeah, and it's just, and then they'll do stuff back to each other.
You didn't have to worry about this as an only child.
I was a brooding, lonely only child that like meticulously posed my G.I. Joe figures.
But did you
wouldn't let anyone come over and touch them.
Did you fight your like step siblings?
Well, okay. So Emmy, who was like 4 years older than me, I would like passive aggressively judge her, but I wouldn't actually get in fights with her. Like I remember criticizing her to my mom about how she would leave a steady dried up stream of toothpaste on her sink. I disapproved of that.
But there was no physical. I mean, it's usually going to be, you know, two boys or two girls, and usually two boys are the ones that are actually going to physically fight.
And we had this understanding. It's like, I don't think we really considered each other siblings. We considered each other like housemates. Like, okay, you're Jimmy's daughter, who's my stepdad, but you're not my sister. It was weird. And I think she treated me the same way. It was like we tolerated each other as if we both were like, we lived in like adjacent rooms of a hotel, like neighbors.
When's the last time you talked to her?
Since Jimmy and Mom got divorced, I don't think I ever talked to her again. Like, so third grade.
That is crazy.
We didn't have a sibling relationship. So we didn't have those sibling fights. It was more like, yeah, she lived there. I remember when I was in, I mean, she must have been older than, 4 years older than me, because when I was in third grade, she started going out on dates.
Yeah, she was older than
she
four
was
years,
like 15.
She was a teenager when
and
we were kids.
Yeah, she had like a 17-year-old boyfriend who would come over in his car. It was like Camaro.
Got a car, man. That guy's got a car. Look at that guy. Can't believe it. Got a car.
It was weird.
Well, you should reach out. I think what I'm getting at is you should reach out.
You know, I mean, we never fought that much. Let's get coffee so we can.
I've been thinking about the fact that we didn't really ever consider ourselves siblings, and we're definitely not siblings now, so let's get coffee. This is one more from you guys, and then we'll get into some of your disputes that you're having that you would like us to settle.
Oh yeah, yeah, we got to.
Katie Lynn Wilson, speaking of kids, yeah, lately I fight my 3-year-old every day to wear clothes. Some days I win, and some days I have to watch him run around pantsless.
Pantless, not pantsless.
Pantless?
It's both work. I totally understand. I mean,
Patty Pantless would be a good country singer. You know?
Patty Pantless?
Patty Pantless, and she just performs in like just a, you know, just, I don't know, just a really short bottom, you know? That would really catch on. Patty Pantless. Open it up for Patty Loveless tonight. We've got Patty Pantless.
Lando is 7. And he likes to wear clothes, but the thing he doesn't, the altercation that we get into is that he has to have an escort to walk to his room, because he's scared to go to the room or to the bathroom because of the way our house is set up. Like you have to go this way and then hang a left and go down the hallway, and it's dark and scary to him. Mm-hmm. I have to escort him to the restroom. And then if he's like taking a shower, he's like, Dad, I don't want you in here, but I want you right out here while I'm taking a shower.
What, he makes you stand guard?
Yeah, like a security guard.
While he showers? You
yes.
Still do this? You don't actually stay there. You act
like
you're there.
I act like I'm there and then I leave, and I try to time it where I'm back when he gets out of the shower. But last time I heard him, I was like doing something else. I was living my life, my best life. And all of a sudden I hear him screaming, Dad, you left! You left me!
You left me in the shower in our house.
Yeah, he's so, you know, spooked.
Oh,
he's just
gosh.
Like, and I'm sympathetic because I was the same way, but I can't, I'm doing the wrong thing by even escorting him. Like, he almost peed his pants a few days ago because yeah. I would not get up from the dinner table in order to escort him to the restroom.
Well, this is a difficult thing. Shepherd is, you know, he just turned 9, so he's recently kind of transitioned out of this. In our house, his room, you know, all of our rooms are upstairs. So, but if we're like watching TV and it's time to go to bed, and if uh-huh. he's gonna go to bed early, it has been in the last 12 months that he's gotten to a place where he didn't really complain about going up the stairs. Now, we would make him do it, but there were lots of times when we took him up there. But this is the continual fight that I have with my wife is, I'm like, well, my parents would have never done this. My parents would have been like, boy, you want me to escort you upstairs? Shh, forget about it. And now I would have just gone upstairs. But like, this right. is a different generation.
Right, we coddle.
We escort them upstairs and stand guard while they shower. What are we doing to our children?
Jordan Warner posted.
Well, this is a.
Well, yeah, because we put a new post out.
A different prompt.
Well, hold on. Here's the, we put out a new prompt, which was, tell us about an argument slash disagreement you've had with someone recently. Maybe we can help resolve it. And the reason why I wanted to put out that post is after I read this one. So I wanted to read this one from Kyle Hertubis. I think that's how you say that. Kyle Hertubis. To this day, the biggest fight my wife and I have ever had is over the pronunciation of taco. What?
Okay, I'm interested.
We have been through job loss, buying a house, horrible catering experience with our wedding, our luggage lost on our honeymoon, and yet to this day, the biggest issue we have ever had is how to say taco. I have said it with a soft A my entire life. She says it with a hard A. Hard A. Taco?
I guess she says taco.
In retrospect, if that is our biggest problem as a couple, we are lucky. However, the fight continues to this day and will most likely start again after this post.
Well, hopefully we can end it for you today, Kyle.
Because no one in their right mind says
taco. I mean, Kyle's wife, I don't.
Nothing.
You're not, your name is not listed.
And that's good for you, because we will be all over it right now.
I'm sorry to say.
You're so wrong.
But you have no ground here. Taco is makes no sense.
No.
I mean, just say it to yourself out loud. Now, first of all, maybe we're wrong. Maybe soft versus hard means something else. But to me, a hard A would be taco. Or maybe taco. But taco
is a soft A.
And that is definitely the pronunciation of taco.
I mean, is this like an Upper Northwest kind of, is this a dialect somewhere I don't know about?
Yeah.
I hope not.
I mean, I can't think of a context here. Now, okay, here it is. If I was writing a rap and I wanted to rhyme taco and wacko, you know, if I said tobacco and then I was like, oh, I really want taco to work, I would be like, look at you over there with your tobacco and look at me over here with my little taco. I might say it like that.
That may work in Hamilton, but that doesn't work. That doesn't work in like radio rap.
Right. You know, Kendrick Lamar would never do that, but I'm sure that Lin-Manuel Miranda would do that.
Here's the thing with Kyle. Kyle's profile picture has his wife in it.
Mm. Well, they're loved. I mean, he still loves her even though she's wrong about this.
And she is, and that is a so wrong about
a wonderful thing, but she's definitely wrong. I mean, this isn't even worth discussing anymore.
Mm-mm. Read Jordan Warner's.
My brother puts PB and jelly on one slice of bread and then puts the other on top. Please put him to shame.
Jordan's brother takes one slice of bread, spreads peanut butter on it, then scoops out jelly and spreads it on the
same,
on top of the peanut butter
the same
while
way.
There's a whole other piece of bread naked over there.
Mm-hmm. Please put him to shame. Well, first of all, Jordan.
We don't like to shame people.
Yeah, I think that you're coming at this the wrong way. I don't think the point is to shame. Now, we may have shamed Kyle's wife, but that she says taco. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's like we do have our standards
right.
here. But there's two sides of this argument, and there's the jelly side and the peanut butter side. No, there's the two sides of this argument are, well, it's going to end up the same anyway.
I just wonder what happens in the jar of the second thing you dip in, because that's what's not the same.
Well, does this involve a cleaning of the knife before, or does this involve a separate utensil?
I guess it would,
because that doesn't matter either way.
Right, because if it doesn't matter, you would clean it. What I do is I spread the peanut butter, and then I use the naked bread to clean any remaining peanut butter off onto the naked bread.
That's smart.
And then I dip it into the jelly, now that I have it, so as not to contaminate the jelly with peanut butter. And I haven't solved the issue.
I lick and wash.
No, you don't.
I lick and wash. If I'm making one for my kids, or if I'm making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and it's only for my kids, I don't make them for my wife.
Hey, baby.
I do the peanut.
Guess what I'm making for you down here.
The peanut butter, the peanut butter tax is just, I thought that was just an expected part of parenting. So I do the peanut butter side first, and then I lick the peanut butter off, get a little paint. That's my payment for doing this. And then I take it and I wash it underwater and then wipe it down. And then I go into the jelly. And then I get the jelly, and then I lick the jelly as well.
Here's the problem, because we're not anywhere close to solving the problem.
Double lick.
I disapprove of that. But they're your kids, and they can get whatever you've got.
I wash the germs off, man.
You rinse.
Okay. That does it.
Hey, yeah, it's fine. What we're really getting at is then at that moment when you're dipping the jelly, and you're gonna spread it on top of the peanut butter, it's really hard to get a good jelly spread on a peanut butter surface. It's like driving on ice.
Right.
So it's not, I mean, I don't think it's worth shaming somebody over. It's just, I think you're missing, if you like have a huge dollop of jelly, that like then you're kind of spreading jelly on jelly on top of peanut butter. Maybe that could work.
No, but I do think, your brother is wrong, but I don't think he needs to be shamed. I think he needs to be taught. So I just think that you need to, you don't have to use the lick method. You're not a parent. Maybe you are a parent, but I doubt that you are yet. If you are a parent, I definitely encourage the lick and wipe. Just specifically with a knife that's got peanut butter on it.
Don't ever wipe and lick in life.
But what about goober grape?
Well, here's the interesting thing. My dad will do this thing where he'll take peanut butter, he'll take a scoop or two or three, put it in a bowl. Then he'll take a scoop or two or three of jelly.
He does the mix.
And then he mixes.
Sir, mix a lot.
He mixes a lot in the bowl, and then he will spread that. And
I gotta respect that. I'd like to lick that spoon.
That is interesting because it tastes different. It's a different taste. It's making a new substance.
Huh.
And if you've never done it,
When did you first see this?
It's kind of a head tilt thing.
When did he do this? This is amazing.
Every Christmas night, we go to Nana and Papa's house and we have breakfast for dinner. It's like a tradition. We have like bacon and eggs and sausage and grits and these biscuits that my Aunt TC can like, she knows when to pop a biscuit out of the oven. Because I like an almost raw biscuit. Then she'll leave some in longer if you like a brown biscuit. And then
puts peanut butter and jelly on the biscuit.
And then it's kind of like a dessert. You eat that whole meal and then you have a dessert, which is peanut butter and jelly on a biscuit.
Not just butter and jelly.
No.
Because butter and jelly is also a wonderful creation.
I've never had that.
You never put butter and jelly together?
Well, yeah. But
on a hot biscuit?
I've never mixed it together, but yes, you're right. He'll mix the peanut butter and jelly and then it's his own thing. It's amazing.
You realize that this is the kind of thing that would like go viral on Reddit. Probably already has. But if you're like home for Christmas, my dad just mixed peanut butter and jelly, then put it on the sandwich, and you have a good picture of it, it would get like 50,000 upvotes.
And it's because it's some, and I, when you try it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It is a different thing.
I believe it.
I actually don't know if I like it as good.
Well, because it may adulterate the peanut butter. I mean, that may be what's happening.
Actually, the peanut butter is strong in the way he does it, which is great for me, but still, it's something weird about it. It almost tastes like tainted peanut butter, the way he does it.
Well, that's not an endorsement. Faith
that's
Leech.
What I call goober. I love goober grape, by the way, too.
It's not mixed.
Stripes.
So do they still have that? Do they still sell goober grape? Surely they do.
Oh yeah.
Faith Leech brings up something that my wife and I actually recently got into an argument about. My husband and I have an ongoing argument about the word several. I use it as a number slightly more than three. He says it means seven. We have been married 11 years and still quibble over it. Okay, well.
Go ahead.
Definitively, it does not mean seven, okay? I mean, when he says that it means seven, he's obviously taking the-
He's taunting
He's
her.
Taking the root. He's saying sev and then saying several and seven. Well, that's just not, I think that can't be right.
I think he's just trying to tick her off.
But the argument that Jesse and I got